9 Central.
Blog Talk
your
Radio.
Cancer support community for the 5th annual Autism.
This is Jocelyn Sigourney, a 7th grade grandson of Sergeant Vicka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Army, who during the American Revolution became first loving man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous plant-based native sacraments.
Local news at 11 starts at 2.
Good evening,
I'm Amanda Harris,
Alan
Williams, Astronaut. The White House called the
Marathon
Act of
Terrorism.
Three people are dead
You're
and more than 100 people are hurt after a bombardment detonated near the finish line.
You have been led by the spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Osaga of Peru, the current kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the holy ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Ottawahees of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots Peace Council.
500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Father, 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Father, 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Father,
thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalee, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Hello, everybody. This is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from Silver County,
curious things are true in America.
And our honored guest this week is Daryl White Wolf. Daryl's a Cherokee, and he's of the age to be an elder, and we're talking to him in Adelaide, Australia. He's been down under for about 4 or 5 years. Hello, Daryl. Welcome to the show.
Theo.
Well, how you doing? I'm doing pretty well. I first heard of you last, May. You issued a challenge to Native elders worldwide, and it was picked up and reposted everywhere. That was just amazing. And a lot's happened since then. There was a lot going on at that time. That was back during the Aussie bloke scare, and which I really, I don't think that whole thing is over. There's too many strange things going on down under, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk with you. And tell us a little bit about yourself, and just kind of meander around and let me know what you think about the way things are going in the world. Okay, well, I'm just me. I'm not really no different than anybody else.
The
I've always known I was Cherokee. Through my family, my grandfather, way back when I was 6 years old, a lot of things started happening with me back then. I can remember most of it like it happened yesterday. Grandfather set me down. My grandfather Thomas set me down. We was out in Fort Worth, Texas at the time. And I was sitting on a swing set. We were listening to wolves howling in the distance. Back then, there were wolves out there, and not much civilization, if I remember right.
And his brother, Cleveland Browns owner Jimmy.
Yeah, he told me something always stuck with me. He's, a few things actually. He said, number one, you are Cherokee. He says, and you're from the clan of the wolf.
Position with the company, but still hasn't.
He said, there's something else I want you to remember.
NFL.com.
This has always stuck with me. He says,
in part,
remember that you don't own anything.
There has been
not
no
even a shirt on your back.
The integrity of our company.
And I tell people that today, because there's a lot of truth in that. We don't own anything. If we put everything that we think we own on the ground, it's going to go back to the earth where it came from. Most of my family, and it was a big family. Cousins, I got cousins all over the United States. Most of them come from around Cooper County, Kentucky, along the Owensboro and the Ohio River there. And we used to go down there and hunt fish and trap back when I was a kid. And I remember some of these old shacks we used to go to, and there were fish. There weren't clothes hanging on the line, there were fish hanging on the line. Animals being here, raccoons and possums and things like that, rope slat on these little iron boards and different things. It was a different way of life down here. People ate really good. I mean, we had people over for dinner. There was just tons and tons of food. The women wear, feathers and leather and fur and things like that. Everybody wore rags pretty much. Growing up, it wasn't really a good thing to be Indian or part Indian or anything to do with Indians. When I grew up, we were shunned and told to keep it quiet. And I got beat up a few times just for having high cheekbones. But I learned to stand up for myself. I went through life with most kids. I went into the military after high school. I went to high school, some high school with Dave Levitt. I think he was 4 years ahead of me, but we both went to Broader for high school. After I got out of high school, I think I finished my last year in Galena Park, Houston, Texas. Then I went to the military. I joined the Marines. Went through boot camp and basic training, and we were actually the first in boot camp. We had the first full honor series battalion in the history of the Marine Corps. We went through some regular training, back in those were the old Corps days, when they could do just about anything they wanted to. Nowadays they have to be a little more careful. And then went through infantry battalion. training. That's back when Lee Ermey was a DI, huh? that was back not long after Smedley Butler come through to inspect base there in North Carolina. And he said, you know, he said, I've seen all this. He said, I want to see the real Marines take me to the bridge. it was the old Corps. I bet people could tell some stories about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I went into communications. That was my MOS, communications 2511.
John Schultz is there.
Field wireman, so I was a pole climber.
This evening, Josh.
They taught us how to climb the telephone pole and rescue a cat off the top of it. Now, that's a trick. That's a trick. If you don't call it, you can. Then we had to do combat jumps off the pole and stuff like that. Then I got into radio.
It's unclear if there's going to be
a
return to work tomorrow.
Officials
with the company say all of the pilots,
field communications,
like travel centers,
and of course the first thing after infantry training that they did was they divided it up into two groups, and one group went to Anchorage, Alaska. My group went to Da Nang. And the plane that went to Anchorage, Alaska, crashed and killed everybody on board.
Oh my!
I was quite blessed with going to Vietnam, actually.
They defended in a deadly hit and run to kill three people.
I consider it a blessing that I didn't get on that plane. But, you know, I lost a lot of friends in that.
And what he thought
that was. Of course, I lost a lot of friends in Vietnam, too, as a lot of guys did. I didn't see a whole lot of action. I was most of the time in the rear with the gear. And but there were some times when they sent us out on what they called roof patrols, the long range ambush patrols and things like that. We'd spend about 6 days out. So, anyway, I don't want to get into all that stuff. But, you know, after that, I got out of the service. And I went to Canada, and I started working with horses up there because I've always had a affection for horses, and worked with hunters and jumpers up there. But they were not your ordinary hunters and jumpers. These were Clydesdales and thoroughbred, huge horses. We're talking 18-20-inch calls. Did that for a few months up there for some people, and that was in London, Ontario. Went down to Florida and worked with the Florida horse down there. Hunters and jumpers and all the thoroughbreds. And I raised horses and followed the starting gate. After that, I moved out to Arizona because that's where my uncle and my aunt lived. They lived out in Groom Creek Pines at the trespass.
These showers are going to end around 10
a.m. I spent 12 years living on a pasture land out there in a little town called El Frida.
Starting at
7 a.m. I started the first ambulance service.
Jesus Christ.
So went back to college. Went back to school. Went to Purchase College. And I was already a volunteer firefighter, but I went on and took more classes than that. Became a firefighter one, rescue. I was well-versed in both flammable liquids and explosive vapors, bush fires, wildland fires, structural fires, high extrication. So I got a lot of training, and then I even went on to become an advanced EMT, which advanced life support, innovation, defibrillation, IVs, and things like that.
The guy said he had
attack. I could tell you, so many stories about Arizona.
All bad.
Some are pretty strange. I've been around. I spent some time in Japan and Okinawa.
Small one.
I'm here in Australia. I like it here. What sent you down that way? What brought me down here? Well, my wife dragged me down here by the hair of the head. No, I met her at a powwow. I met her at a powwow in Michigan, up in Grand Rapids. I was dancing up there, and I run into her, and things just kind of click, you know how they do. And I went from there, and I've always wanted to come to Australia. I had a chance when I was in Vietnam to come here for R&R, but it never panned out. It was either Australia or Taipei, and I wanted to come to Australia. I've always wanted to see this country, and, well, here I am, and...
Probably.
I'm a permanent resident here now, so I can actually go back and forth anytime I want.
Anything's possible.
That's really cool. I can't talk. I don't have to take up the whole conversation here. Yeah, well, we're done with that part, you know. But I guess last May there was a
North Korea state
quite a bit of excitement, a lot of
unavoidable,
a lot of strange reports about things happening at the South Pole. Reports coming out of South Australia about a military base that I guess it had been closed, but it had been reopened, and
we did what we had to.
And then the locals said that there was something called Project Wormwood going on down there. Just a lot of high strangeness, a lot of really strange news coming out of
economic impact.
About that time, that's when you issued your challenge, and I want to tell folks a little bit about what that was all about, and this is the last May, April.
Yeah,
it was right after, it was 4 days after the white buffalo calf was born up in Flagstaff.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea at the time that it happened, and somebody wrote me a letter.
Mountains near Jericho.
You know that there was a white buffalo calf.
And it was the way up or down. So
and I had no idea that happened, but I knew that things were strange. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff going on here, and we had a really active year of UFO sightings down here at the time. You have a lot of meteors also. Yeah, there was a lot of meteors, and some of them are sitting there one night, and there was a loud bang. I mean, and the dogs in the neighborhood went off, and there was a big flash. Turned out that it was a meteor, a rather large one.
185,000 square foot facility,
and that
burned
at
the nuclear park.
That was I never really worried about anything big coming in business. I didn't quite think that was going to happen.
Well,
that was a rumor that something was going to blindside us coming from the south planet, and that there were a lot of the rumor that was circulating was that just about every astronomer in the world had rotated down there, in the first 6 months of last year. And there's a lot of really strange goings on, a prediction of a possible asteroid strike or a close flyby. And oddly enough, there were some huge, I guess over around Indonesia, there were a couple of really large meteors that literally turned the night sky to almost daylight or something like that. There was some big stuff coming in. So it really made people wonder. And then the whole situation with Aussie bloke, it turned out to be, I guess the jury's still out on exactly what that was all about. But the person, apparently a person who was impersonating a former physicist down there, a physicist who had years before done some research on possible near-Earth objects, or possible asteroid strike, and this Dr. Grant Cottrell was on vacation, and during the first couple of weeks of May, someone got on the internet and started posting, and I guess on May 15th, they said, well, my name is Dr. Cottrell, so I picked up that bit of information and started looking around, and then I discovered there was a Dr. Grant Cottrell who had testified in front of the parliament of his province there in Australia on the subject of saving. And that really got me interested, and then I further searched. I found out that he had retired and bought a blueberry farm. And so I guess, I contacted you. We actually got the guy's phone number, and I guess you found somebody that went to try to find where he was, and nobody was around and hadn't been around for a couple of weeks, which further kind of fueled it. And then, Oh, yeah, all of it just added up to, hey, what in the world is going on? And the fact that he might be in a cave somewhere, you know. Apparently he had found some prehistoric dinosaur bones or something. But it was all really highly strange. And I guess the whole scare had gotten started a year ago, January, with something called the Snowball Intercept, which was a ham radio operator had intercepted a countdown. A reference to T-minus 100 and some odd days and counting until impact. So, you know, there was a lot of people that were really concerned last year. A lot of people that still are. But just because the asteroid thing didn't happen, there were a lot of large things that did in the atmosphere down there, and a lot of strange things that went on, and you and I had some interesting conversations. I guess the whole thing ended up with Dr. Gattrell was really nonplussed, and I think there's a copy of... I still got the copy of the newspaper article that was written about the whole incident. but anyway, it was a really interesting period of time. I don't scare real easy, but I was pretty concerned. I was concerned enough at that point in time to call a couple people that I knew 25 and 30 years ago that I hadn't spoken to. Give them a heads up. And I just told them, hey, I don't know what's going to happen. There's just a lot of strange things going on. And, we were friends. We haven't talked 25 or 30 years. I said, but,
it was
it might be worth putting a little bit extra food and water and...
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit India-Herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
And, of course, it's always prudent. But so in that 11 or 12 months since then, what observations do you have about other things that have gone on?
Well, we're not out of the woods yet, I can tell you that. There were a lot of strange things going on, and even before Gartrell's letter came out, there were meteor impacts happening all over the world. In India, there was a village that got hit, several houses burnt down. There was one in, went through a roof in Louisiana.
Oh, God, everything 20 times.
I don't know if you remember some of them, but those reports were finally starting to come out, and I don't know. You know, since we've had this modern technology and the wonder of the internet and everything, and you kind of have to sift through the piles that are in the internet to get the truth, because there's so much better than there was. You just have to use your own discernment. But yes, things were really heating up around here at that time. There was 1,000 astronomers showing up down on the Antarctic region down there for. You just don't go there with 1,000 astronomers to look at stars. There must be a reason. all the battleships in the world seem to be going out into the oceans.
Yeah.
I would say, well, they're not safe in the ports. And a person couldn't help but wonder what was going on.
Well, you know, the other thing is I found out after that, I spoke with the fellow that has the commercial at largest supply of potassium iodide in the United States, and he supplies, most of what FEMA has. And he said the previous December that FEMA came to him and wanted everything he had. And which is, oh, I don't know, 60,000 doses. And potassium iodide is what you take in case there's a nuclear attack. And
I've got mine right here.
Mm-hmm. So that, you know, it blocks it puts enough iodide in your thyroid so it doesn't become poisoned from radioactive iodide. So there was a lot of scary stuff going on back then. The other strange thing was that was reported in a Russian papers and other places was that there was some kind of a whirlwind or vortex or something that they sent weather balloons up into, and when they would send the chronometers would come back with some kind of missing time. You really don't know what. I mean, you can observe who's coming and going, and nobody's talking, and everybody kind of looks scared, you know. But anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, go ahead. When this letter came about, I really don't know what happened. I talked to Spirit. Spirit talks to me, and I normally just turn forward observer. I stay out of things for the most part. I've seen a lot in my life, and I just something seemed to prop me up here and say, "Do this. You got to do this." And that it was time to light a fire into people. And I used the word challenge, and not out of disrespect, but I knew that it would draw a response. And it did. I thought, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get my head chopped off. I'm really out on the limb here, but this is what I'm told to do, and I have to do it. But I started receiving emails and letters left and right. In 3 weeks' time, I received over 300 emails. I was surprised. I figured you were going to get laughed at, but the vast majority of what you got was very positive and very supportive. Absolutely. I think there was only three letters out of 350 that were negative responses. One of them was from a witch. There was a threat from a witch that she threatened to call up the Thunder Beings and the Jaguars. And I wrote back and sent her blessings, and I said, "Well, bring them on, because when the Jaguar comes to look into my heart and through my eyes, he can't see my intentions." It had a lot to do as well with teaching non-Native people about Native ways and things like that. And I think there was one person that wrote back and said something about me just wanting information on ceremonies. Well, there was nothing in the letter about me wanting information on ceremonies. I have my own ceremonies. Everybody's got their own. I really don't. It's not an issue. It's not an issue. And I understand that a lot of ceremonies have to be protected, because I know firsthand that if they get in the wrong hands, she shoots in the wrong way, it can be devastating. It's a lot like a ripple in a pond. Well, no, I don't. I never was interested in any ceremonies. What I was interested in was getting people come forward with the information that they had that would help people to prepare.
Sarah was murdered.
There was
down.
Coming our way.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt that this was a precursor to, and like I said, we're not out of the woods yet. I wouldn't go back to sleep just yet. It was a precursor. So everybody knows that the Native people of the world, not just the American Indians, but the Native people of the world, the Aboriginals, the Tibetans.
Well, I'll tell you what,
they have the knowledge. They know what's going on. They've been in contact with the Star Beings. They've seen the future. They know the pathways. My message was to get the elders to get together, to get their heads together, put all their differences aside, and make a decision on whether or not to put this information out to the public. And I still feel that this is necessary, because I see what I see going on here is a lot of little circles around the world, and these little circles are like drumming circles and healing circles and prayer circles, and these are all wonderful things. But I don't see them connected with the big circle. And I feel that the Spirit is trying to tell me this message, which is gather your circle. Those three words, gather your circle. That really, and I say, why me? What are you telling me this for?
But
then I realize that I'm not the only one who's hearing this message. So, it doesn't mean getting all of the elders and chiefs and everybody gathered in one place. They can say where they're at in the country they're at, but every nation of every continent in the world, the old wise ones, the...
You just get away from there. Just like you got away with that.
But, you know, ever since I was a kid, reading the Bible and everything, hearing the Bible stories, one of the most fascinating stories to me was how Joshua took down the wall of Jericho. He did it with trumpets.
After everything that means
vibration. And I named my son Joshua for that story.
We can't do anything.
And another thing that I learned was that the Tibetans could levitate stones, large stones that were about 3 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot square. They could levitate these stones actually in the air by using vibration from trumpets and drums and chanting.
Sorry, I forgot to call you when we landed. We just checked in a little while ago.
I'm thinking, Jesus walked on water. Maybe he didn't walk on water, but he vibrated high enough that he could levitate and float over the top of water.
Have you heard from him?
And in India, there's stories of some of the old wise brown Indian men that could sit on the floor and actually raise their bodies off.
Well, I will call him.
Jesus said, you know, these things you see me do and even greater you'll do, and a few people are doing them.
Yeah, we can do that too, if we can remember how. So, can you imagine the power of all of the elders, all of the chiefs, all of the medicine men and women, and the dancers? I mean, I've gone to a powwow and spent 3 days at a powwow. And after everything's all packed up and left, I've gone back there 2-3 days later, and I can still feel it and hear it.
Please give up on finding Roy.
So all this energy together, in a good way, in a positive way, can turn all this fear that people have been conditioned with right back to where it came from. And I feel deep inside of me that we can, you know, we've got two pathways here. We come to about one step from the fork in the road now, and we can see down both pathways. And one of them I see, I feel like I'm in a group of lemmings, and I'm one of the lemmings, and I'm being pushed towards this cliff, and I can see the cliff ahead. On the other path, I see a path of being the reconstruction and changing of our way,
getting
back the earth and actually setting her free again.
The plastic surgeon.
These are the two choices that we have. I feel that if we don't come together as one, in one big circle, we fail. I'm off that cliff. So basically, that's my message. And
you haven't seen your mother in over 20 years.
Some people disagree, and some people agree, but sooner or later, we're gonna see the end result.
Actually, I'm not.
How are...
Did she abandon me?
How are Native people
don't you want an explanation?
Viewed? Are things improving? You know, down in Australia for the Aboriginal people. I know there was a lot of activity with the tent embassy last year. And what's been going on in the last year? What have you heard?
There's been no improvements down here, none whatsoever. I'm sorry to say that because... I was really disappointed the other day when I saw some of the elders come on television, and they actually, I couldn't believe they said this. They want to arrest the queen. They want to arrest the queen for genocide.
He has a gift for finding
They want to boycott the Commonwealth Games, or what they call the Stolen Wealth Games.
I need a hard
and, you know, the thing of it is this has never worked before. Protesting in the streets, carrying signs, being angry at the government and everything. That has never worked before. Never has it made a difference. And, you know, this thing, love is a good thing, and love is a very powerful energy. But, you know, the hippies tried that back in the 60s and the 70s, and that didn't work either. So, you know, to bubble over with love, to me, is a little bit unrealistic. It's good to love people. I don't really think it's possible to love everybody all the time. You need to respect your neighbor, but
it's been
pretty much proven you can't really love your neighbor all the time. You can respect them. You respect their ways.
Well, the way laws are set up, you know, basically the whole Western world, including Australia, is set up on old Roman law, and it's up to you to prove what your rights are, and there's activism, and then there's, you can cross that line into violence and get a struggle mentality, but yeah, you got to get out, and you have to get out into public and let people know, you know, where things went wrong and sway public opinion.
And
educate public and
yeah.
Something I learned.
What you gotta do.
You do have to get out there, but you gotta be careful with your choice of words, because everything has dual meaning. You know? And even here in Australia, you have to be very careful what you say, because people can take it one way or the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I say dark brothers here, well, I'm speaking of dark brothers doing their dirty deeds. I'm speaking of the ones that are hurting us, taking our rights away, taking our freedoms away, and things. And they may think I'm talking about dark brothers, meaning Aboriginal brothers.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. You got to be careful. But I've spoken with some of the elders down here, Uncle Thomas. Down here in but down here along the Coorong. These are wonderful people, and they all have the same views on the Earth Mother that we do. There's so much of a connection here. Unbelievable.
Well, I guess there was some information that came out of South America last year that
you need to leave
scientists are really starting to wonder if there weren't migrations from Australia into South America. I can't remember how they came to that conclusion, but there's a lot of old things that were assumed. There's a lot of bubbles that are being burst.
Just tell me the truth.
Preconceived notions that are being disabused. A lot of interesting things going on.
I was just
a lot of being changed all the time.
Yeah, things are being changed, and but politically, down there, folks are things are not getting better, and so Aboriginal people are starting to get angry, huh?
Because I was there.
Well, they've just been taken off the floor of the list. Wouldn't you be angry
after she disappeared?
They were considered animals,
Bobby.
Yeah.
And they were on the list of flora and fauna.
She said no.
That's not good. That's not a good thing. They're human beings just like we are. And I see no difference other than they're a little darker skinned than most of us. They have different ways than most of us. In a lot of ways, they're so connected with the Native American ways, it's unbelievable. They call Father Sky, Father Sky, and Mother Earth, Mother Earth. They honor the directions and all that. They have their sacred fires. And
apparently she didn't go far enough.
There's a story the scientists came up with that said that the Aboriginals and the American Indians actually lived on the same continent at one time before the Great Cataclysms.
Gondwana land,
You're not going to go.
Yeah, which would explain probably why they still find arrowheads here on occasion, Flint Rock. I don't know. But and then there's also a theory that the original Aboriginals came from Southeast Asia over another type of land bridge here. Well, I think the Bible indicates that originally all the land masses were one, then it was broken up, and but the continental drift theory was support that. So why should we be surprised? But but I just get the feeling that the Aboriginal people in Australia somehow are really elder. If you know what I mean.
Free to go to rehab.
Elder.
Hello.
Oh yes. Oh yes. I'll tell you what, you talk about the powerful elders here. These elders, some of these elders and medicine men here have crystals implanted or embedded in their chest.
Hmm.
And if they point the bone at you, it don't matter what end of the world you're on. If they point the bone at you and want to curse you, you better look out. No place to hide. And they already pointed the bone at John Howard, who's the prime minister here. Because he refuses to recognize him and acknowledge
him
and apologize. Apology here is a big thing. That's all it takes, really, to get the ball rolling.
To
say, hey, you know, we're sorry. We were stupid. We need to change our ways of thinking.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, I thought that whole process was underway. And what, they get a new administration in the government in down there?
The administration that's in here now, I don't know if I should talk about it, but it's not good. It's following all of
there's only one person who can answer that question. And now that we know that Pamela's
behind closed
doors,
that's going on in America. If America sneezes, Australia catches cold.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, the natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in your body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is tested in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement is all about.
Is that a proof for you?
Yeah, well, you know, think what Evan tied here, you know, when different administrations are in.
Darwin.
You know, they kind of felt like, you know, George Bush. You know, Indians here in the United States really kind of have the opinion that Democrats help them more. I don't know if they do or not. I think it really just depends on. I mean, look at what Kennedy did. You know, with the flooding of the Allegheny River, the dam project, and all of it. It's really kind of a mixed bag. Nixon did some really good things, I understand. But I think, you know, most American Indians really line up with the liberal and the Democrat, and as do blacks, but blacks, for some reason, have been conditioned to go Democrat, but they forget it was the party of Lincoln that freed them, and that was the Republicans. So, it's all kind of a mixed bag. And of course, when governments change, and
I gave you the benefit of the doubt after everything you've done.
Different policies go into effect, and so I guess things are just kind of stalled down there in Australia. So the prime minister down there's got his back up, and maybe it's an economic thing. Maybe they're scared
that
they're going to have to give some things back, or is it a rights issue, or what is it that the Aboriginals are asking for? Do they want some land back, or what is it they've been asking for? Just an apology.
Well, they want an apology. They want entitlement to their land, sacred land, especially the sacred sites. You go build it on sacred sites, and you know we know this as well. When you go build it on sacred sites, you're building on Mother's beauty line. She can't breathe. So this is being brought to the front. There's also issues of human rights, health care. They've got problems like we do. Internal struggles, and there's drugs and alcohol, and big thing down here with a lot of the younger generation in the Aboriginal community is sniffing gasoline, puffing.
Oh my gosh!
Oh yeah, that's a big problem here. Suicide, getting beat up by the cops. There's been riots lately. Oh, you know, they say that the police were chasing a kid and he fell onto a fence and impaled himself on a fence. And of course, everybody in the town come unglued, and there were bottle rockets and fire bombs and things thrown at the police. It was a big blow up over that.
Sounds like the kind of stuff that was going on up here in the late 60s and early 70s.
Yeah.
I guess they're about 30 years behind the aim then.
Yeah, they are, actually. Yeah. Everything's behind here.
Ellie, I told
you guys get the new movies over here. We don't get them until about 6 months later.
Drew?
And that's the way with everything.
Well, maybe we need some more Crocodile Dundee. To put Aboriginal people in a better light. I know.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that because it is strange. Most Americans, if they haven't been to Australia, that's all they know about Australia, Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
And the Australians here know absolutely nothing about the Native Americans and what they see on television. You know, they still show the old Ricardo Montalban Indian movies here.
Oh, you're kidding.
The John Wayne Indian movies. All the old ones that portray the Indians as savages, you know.
Christopher, he's trying to make things right.
You'll see every once in a while, you'll see a piece of commercial.
No one else to do, okay? He said, but at one point, there was no connection to Ryland.
It is about one of their gambling casinos here, and it'll show an Indian putting his head on the railroad tracks listening for...
You know where it was?
Yeah, just stupid commercials that depict the Native American Indian in the old ways, the old TV Hollywood ways. They really know nothing about us here. And when I first came here, boy, I'll tell you, they rolled out the red carpet for me.
For betrayal?
And I was really surprised.
I thought I could trust.
People want to know.
Always.
They do want to know. And I said this to somebody yesterday, you know, religion... If you look at it as a whole, it is all the same. We all worship, or, you know, we all pray to the same God. The Great Spirit. Whether they know it or not, it's all the same one. And the only thing that's wrong with it is they put fences up in between all of them and divide it. And that's what
really
the New World Order is all about, anyways, divide and conquer. I forgot where I was going with
told
it.
Me.
Well, I know, you know, we've interviewed Yellow Horse Man. He was down there with Maki Ruka, I guess, back in the probably 70s and 80s. And, Maki, I guess, was a Maori elder, but they traveled worldwide, and Chokosh Alho, she's a Chumash elder, and she's been down there, and Earth Thunder, another elder that we've done that's been down there, and there's people down there that want to know. There's been a lot of conferences and workshops, and you know, a lot of people wanting wanted to know, and I think it's great, you know, for Aboriginal people, anything we can learn from them, that's wonderful, because, you know, in a lot of ways, American Native people are forgetting a lot about their culture. I know basically the Cherokee culture was over with by 1880, and we're really... bits and pieces. It was like a shotgun, you know, bird shot going off, one shot aimed straight.
straight towards the zenith. And everything just landed scattered. And after 100 years, so they try to reconstitute everything. And then by this time, everybody that's got a little bit here and a little bit there, they figure that they've got it all. And so they got fighting going on all over the place among Cherokees, which is nothing new. But, you know, putting the whole... the true of prophecy, you know, said that at this time our blood would be diluted, and we'd be, you know, fighting between families, and really is unfortunate, you know, especially with the...
I hope he's wearing sunblock down there, as I recall.
The ones that are federally recognized, putting the ones that aren't down.
I gave him the
surprising thing is the ones that aren't federally recognized were the ones that were the most traditional people. And,
I'm sure.
So, you know, it's all...
I've got
of course, the ones that are federally recognized are the ones that get the press. And it's a real mess. And then you got all the ceremony police. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of that going on here too. You know, people making noises. I want to cross that line over.
Some of the blue order is quite understandable because I have seen some not Indian people out there that are what you know. I hate that word wannabe, but. And then, doggone it, that's what they're trying to do. And they're making Indian crafts and selling them as genuine stuff. And that is cultural theft, in my book.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But on the other hand, there's a lot of really true-hearted, as opposed to two-hearted people out there that are genuinely interested in the culture. They want to connect with that spirit. And they have every right to because we all belong in the same circle. I mean, if we're going to say... we're all one, and we better walk the walk as well as talk the talk.
Yeah, well, you can't. I mean, the people, I know what you mean about the wannabe thing because I used to resent people that call other people wannabes, but after you, I mean, not everybody knows as much about our culture as you and I do, and after a while you run into people, you know, it's kind of a... Well, you know, they say ignorance is you don't know and you don't want to know. And you get a people that discover their Cherokee or whatever, and they'll read a little bit about it, and then all of a sudden they'll put a bone necklace on and grow their hair a little bit long or take a Cherokee name and mispronounce it. These people are good hearted. They just it's tough to walk up to them though and say, hey, you've got a little bit of a clue, but you don't have a clue, you know, and then the big fight comes over. Well, who's going to teach them? And then the competition, the jockeying, wants to capture their minds, and we have so much of that going on here, especially in this state, because there are so many Cherokees here. There's an 1817 reservation just south of here across the Arkansas state line. And after the Trail of Tears, they had begun relocating Missouri and Arkansas, you know, at the end of the 1700s. And so when the bunch walked the Trail of Tears and they just took over, they said, well, if you don't send your chief in to a certain place at a certain time, you're outlaws. And a lot of them just thought, you know, that about the play. You know, we're staying where we're at, and you can do whatever you want to. And but people are beginning to wake up to being Cherokee and a lot of other different tribes. But there's not a lot of information around. And to be real frank with you, we've got a lot of personality cults going on here. People claiming to be chiefs. And, you know, misrepresenting the culture, and you put that together with a populace that isn't really well-read, and they're already predisposed to kind of be ignorant because they haven't had a lot of schooling, and they don't maybe not read well, and they might have learning disabilities. And I'll tell you, it gets to be a real mess. It gets to be a real mess.
No, absolutely. We've got a lot of.
There's just something about a woman.
We've got a long road ahead of us, and we've just
unleashing it later. To
you
help
know,
help.
We're just now going around the corner here, and I think. You know, we're not alone. As Cherokees, we're not alone. I think we've got a lot to learn from our brothers down in Mexico and Central America.
Okay.
I call those the real Indians, you know. But, you know, a lot of arrogant American Indians will look at them and say, well, they're not Indians. They're Mexicans.
No.
You know, those are the people that are down there still living tribal ways. And
okay.
So anyway, everybody's being ready.
What I'm struggling with more than anything is trying to find out what my other blood is. Because I'm not, it's a toss-up between German and Irish, but I'm leaning more toward Irish because of grandfather. My grandfather was personal friends with Pat O'Brien, the actor, years ago. And, you know, there was a lot of talk of Irish being in the woodpile back then.
What was his surname?
Pardon me?
You're a Smith, though, right?
Yeah, I'm a Smith on my stepfather's. See, I was adopted out of 3 months. Old by my stepfather and stepmother and my mother's sister. My grandfather was full blood Cherokee. My mother,
not good.
I think she was full. I think she was Cherokee and Irish.
Good. She
and
knows.
My
good.
My biological father, who I only met like once or twice, his last name was actually Newman, which I think is German, and that's what is so confusing about it. You know, so I. You know, I'm having more of a struggle finding out what the other part of my body is.
Newman.
I already know the German part.
Or Neumann. That's pretty German.
N-E-U-M-A-N.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that sounds German. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard, especially with adoptions. And your ancestor that was full-blood Cherokee, was he assigned a last name, or he just come through Virginia and, you know, was it within the early English that married in? Because there's a lot of Smiths.
Move on.
That come down from the marriage between Powhatan and Pocahontas' mother.
I mean, sure.
Yeah, well, grandfather was, his last name was Thomas.
Okay.
I've only got three gals.
Yeah, there was Thomas Old Settlers that went into Oklahoma.
Whatever.
It's a pretty common Cherokee name. I interviewed Paul. Paul Thomas was the chief of the Cherokee Elders Society. And so that's not an uncommon name among them.
And I found documents in my lineage going back to the 1800s. And a lot of the last names had Eni in them. Alini. Alini and things like that, you know, which are common Cherokee, old Cherokee names.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back when, you know, a lot of them were born and died on the same day or died 3 months later, you know, back when the smallpox and all that stuff was going around. There was a lot of short lifespans back then. And then,
so your family made it to Oklahoma?
Oh, I'm sure they did. In North Carolina as well, you know, they spread out all over the place.
Because I was thinking, there in Texas, a lot of the Civil War, a lot of the Cherokees that allied with the Confederacy ended up staying in Texas.
Yeah,
a lot left the country, went to South America.
Yeah.
But
there's also. Big misconception, and it's a myth about, you know, what an Indian looks like. And I think we talked about this before years ago when the first settlers came in. They found blonde-haired, blue-eyed children running around through the camps.
Well, that was white skin. That was De Soto, Hernan De Soto, in the expedition of 1540. He, you know, they're the way. Chief Rogers, the chief of the Cherokee Nation of Mexico, he said that the Cherokees have always been like a multicolored rope. We've always had four different colors running through us, and always will.
And, you know, the ones that got caught up in the Trail of Tears, you know, were the dark ones, because you can look at the pictures of the ones that, and of course, you know, when we came up from Mexico, I think we look different than we are now. And if you go to CherokeeNationMexico.com, you can see, you know, some of the characteristics that Cherokee people used to have, like the kind of the ski jump nose, and, you know, they still wore turban-like or stocking hats back in those days. And these were lighter-skinned people who lived right next to the Mayans. And our civilization, apparently we moved up here about 1,500 years ago, which coincides with the drought in Yucatan. Our wampum belts are tied to the Mexican seaweed. So, yeah, we've migrated around. And I think the people that could pass for white did. And because the pressure was so great, but I mean, the stories of so-called white Indians are just, there's just so many of them. But the whole idea of, well, the whole idea of being, you know, what a full blood is has nothing to do with, you know, what your skin color is. It's always been a matter of attitude. And,
Well, there's a Hollywood Indian, what I call the Hollywood Indian image. A lot of people don't know. You know, all they see is what they see in the TV and the movies.
Yeah. Well, then Cherokees look different from all other Indians anyway. We're taller. We don't have the moon-shaped faces. We look different. So we get razzed a lot.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of WiseFoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, we'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from WiseFoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed, and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year's supply from WiseFoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
But anciently, you know, if a Cherokee or a Hopi spoke up, everybody shut up and listened, because we were known as the Twin Fires.
Yeah.
And but nowadays, you know, I guess we're all like Rodney Dangerfield, and we get no respect. You know?
We get no respect.
We get no respect. That's okay.
No, no.
That's all right.
That's all right.
We're not. Yeah.
But well, this is great. I'm glad I had a chance to talk with you. Got some other friends down there in Australia that met through Red Elk, and I know they're going to be tickled to.
I was just thinking how screwed up everything is.
To see you being interviewed, you might.
I'm married
to
you.
What's the name of that board that?
I know
you
I worry
about. Pretty
I'm,
often.
I mean, you're connecting me to what my father did.
Oh, I can't remember that.
I used to post on Surfing the Apocalypse.
Yeah, for Surfing the Apocalypse, yeah. Yeah, you might,
but I haven't posted. Yeah, I haven't posted there since last year. Well, not long after I posted that letter, I said, this is my last message.
Oh, okay.
I really didn't have time to sit around on the computer a lot. Anyway.
What do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living? Well, while I'm here, I hold workshops and I teach teach people about the Native ways.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that are interested in that, and I've been asked to go to schools.
We may not be able to prove these kids'
out-of-hour school care facilities.
But at least we can make him pay for Kevin J.R.
One-hour programs for children. They never end up being 1 hour. They always end up being 1.5, two, because people don't want me to leave. And I go to teach a lot of the Native Aboriginal children here too. And I brought all my regalia here with me, and everything. I brought all my flutes. I've got about 18 different flutes that I play. And I put on a pretty good show for these people and these kids. And pretty much trying to bridge the gap here between the cultures and show them what Native Americans are like. You know, and I give them a lot of different examples of the different tribes. I see. If you look at the Miamis and the Potawatomis, you know, a lot of them have blonde hair, blue eyes, white skin. There's different kinds of Native Indians around all over the place. So we're trying to get, you know, just bridge that cultural gap is what I do. And I don't sell Indian. If I make a medicine bag or dream catcher or something like that, I give it to somebody. And I don't ever ask for any payment. It's offered to me, and, you know, I've got other methods of income as well. So
right. Well, you know, taking donations, that's always been traditional. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't want to be accused of being a member of the Doe Nation. people want to, and they kind of expect you to take it. You know, I get everything from stones given to me, crystals, different craft items that people have made, and that's all fine and dandy. So. Money is not a big issue with me. I'm not rich, but I get by pretty well.
How long have you been married? You got a family?
We just celebrated our 4th anniversary.
Oh, any kids yet?
Not on this end. No, I've got a boy. He's 24 over in the States, and I've got a grandson who's 5 now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're older than I am. You're in your mid 50s. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be 53 this June.
Right. And, now you mentioned this gal you met with Powell. Is she Australian?
She was born here in Adelaide. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Born right
here. Oh, that's not possible.
Yeah.
So now Adelaide is you're in South Australia. Where is that? No. Adelaide is where?
Yeah, we're down in the little bay area there.
Okay, that's where I thought.
At the bottom of the map, there's a little notch.
Right, so you're not too far from Dr. Gottrell, because he's down there in that province, okay.
Oh, he's 20 minutes away from my house.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. And my dad always felt constrained by the U.S., and, you know, he was constrained. Given the right circumstances, I think he'd have thrown it all over and gone to Australia. That was his big dream, too.
Yeah.
Go do something different. It was still kind of the last frontier. But, you know, the frontiers are in our minds nowadays, you know.
Yeah. There's no better here than there. There's no better there than here, I suppose.
Yeah, and really, as long as you're doing something you believe in. Because, you know, if you don't, if you're just going through the motions, you know, you've got a vocation, and can't do something that you really believe in, you just become an automaton, and you lose your soul, that's why, you know, I love doing this, I get to learn. Funny how they say the teacher is always the one that gets to learn the most.
I think you might be more amenable to our request.
Well, we certainly appreciate your call and at your cost.
That's not a problem. I love to talk. You can tell.
Yeah.
Anytime, Blue Water.
That's a lot of fun. I know the folks are. We'll have to get you back on.
Where are you?
I think we're going to have to start doing two interviews a week.
because I've got about. I figured, you know, we might get to that point.
They're narcotics.
And maybe we don't have so much.
They're made from high impact.
Yeah, you know, I've got a whole bunch of people waiting to be interviewed. I'm going to interview Dr. Louis Mel Madrona. He's an author. He's part Cherokee. I'm going to interview him Sunday. And we're going to.
Thank you for everything you have done for my family.
And then you introduced me to another elder that's a member of Monotaca, and I got a whole bunch of other people. I think, you know, we might have to start doing, you know, a one on Saturday and one on Sunday, and maybe one on Friday. Who knows? The show's growing, and we've now got prophecykeepers.net, which is a cool new discussion board, and you're teaching on that. And we got the foundation up and running, so we can take donations are tax deductible, and so it's we're over that hump of the first year, and things are moving on, and I think things will go a bit more swimmingly now. I guess that first year always real tough for nonprofits. We really wondered, but it's like anything is worth doing, it's worth doing well.
Drew is my son.
I'm going to jump on the bandwagon here, too. I'm going to send you a little
but
something.
He had
because,
a rich
what I have to do, since I don't do credit cards,
things
like that, is I have to go down to American Express to get the travel
insurance.
Everything. $25 in the United States and $50 here.
Different
currency.
You do what you thought was right for your family, but now you realize you were wrong.
Well, I sure appreciate it. We can use every little bit.
He doesn't want to talk to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not expected. We'll never turn away a donation.
Well, you appreciate it.
Because I'll tell you, when it comes down to, and we're hoping to start doing some mass mailings legally, and. I don't know whether that'll work or not, you know. Sure couldn't hurt. The last time I looked at it, you know, they wanted, I don't know what it was. It was, you know, $700 for 1,000 names or something like that. But, you know, it's like a price of everything on the net. It's all coming down, so. And they have double opt-in lists where people actually want to get mail and stuff. So we'll give it a try. We'll get it a spin. What the heck. Got nothing to lose. Everything to gain. And, because I know there's people out there. I mean, everyone in the world knows about Nostradamus, and the interview that I did with John Hogue. You know, we pretty much, in my mind, you know, we proved that, you know, he saw something. He saw the astrological configuration, and the drought and these other things that were going to be going on during that period of time, and you know, going way back to. Beginning of this show back last year, some of the people might remember that I kept asking everybody if December 26th meant anything to them because of some things that happened to me back in 84 and in 85, and I kept asking, you know, what about December 26th? And then all of a sudden, you know, the tsunami happened on December 26th. And
people felt that one coming.
Yeah, well, and then I was told that, you know, this year was going to be the year of the Great Havoc 7 years ago, and that's certainly happening. And now I'm really kind of concerned about this thing with Yellowstone, because I think what I need to do is I need to write a new e-book, you know, explaining that the Yellowstone, the way the scientists explained what would happen if Yellowstone did go, that it would fulfill so many far-out prophecies, you know, especially one about red skies and, you know, refugees being walking long distances. I'm concerned. And
they're worried about the ones in Sumatra, too, the super volcanoes.
Yeah, they sure are. And
aboriginals are warning us here that there's going to be a massive earthquake here in Adelaide. They're warning us now. Scientists are warning us. They've been on television about it.
Interesting.
Yeah, and the aboriginals say, yeah, it's going to, the epicenter will be in Blackwood. And I'm thinking, oh, that's good. That's 15 minutes from here.
Well, they had that black, they had predicted, a black rain situation down there, and that, that happened. I should have brushed up on my aboriginal. You know, folks, you know, I've got
two prophecy encyclopedias, and one for Eastern, one for Western Hemisphere. And the two of them together are 650 pages, and a lot of times I can't remember everything that fit it, because we've literally got, you know, from Aboriginal to Zulu, 160 articles from 60 different nations, and I can't remember them all. I guess I need to go back. But yeah, I remember that one about Black Rain and some other ones that have been fulfilled.
Very good.
And,
father,
yeah, so the Aboriginals, they're plugged into the Mother Earth message system, and they know what's coming down the pike.
What is this?
Well, well, I sure appreciate you calling. Yeah, and any last words for the folks?
Gather your circles, make it one big one. We don't have any missing links in the chain. I think we can. You know, it's inevitable that there's major changes coming. We're not going to avoid that. Mother Earth is mentioned now, given birth, and you know, if we don't go back to the 13 moon calendar, back to Earth time, Mother is going to do it for us sooner or later anyway. I think there'd be less chaos, and who knows, maybe a peace would break out. Yeah, I would just say keep your circles going, but try to keep it together.
Oh, you want to break down?
Use the vibration, okay. Power of love and healing.
Okay, well, Watto for being on the show.
Thank you, Blue Otter.
Okay.
And I will talk to you again.
All righty. And thanks, folks. And we'll see you again next week. All righty. Thanks a lot, Daryl.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit India-Herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
But anciently, you know, if a Cherokee or a Hopi spoke up, everybody shut up and listened, because we were known as the Twin Fires. And, but nowadays, you know, I guess we're all like Rodney Dangerfield. We get no respect.
We get no respect.
We get no respect. That's okay.
That's all right.
We're not. But well, this is great. I'm glad I had a chance to talk with you. Got some other friends down there in Australia that met through Red Elk, and I know they're going to. You might what's the name of that board that you post to pretty often?
I used to post on Surfing the Apocalypse.
Yeah, for Surfing the Apocalypse, yeah. Yeah, you might,
but I haven't posted there since last year. Well, not long after I posted that letter, I said this is my last message.
Oh, okay.
I really didn't have time to sit around on the computer a lot. Anyway.
What do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living? Well, while I'm here, I hold workshops and I teach people about the Native ways.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that are interested in that. And I've been asked to go to school, go to out-of-hours school care facility.
I heard rumors that he was so...
one-hour programs for children.
Your own discoveries.
They never end up being 1 hour. They always end up being an hour and a half, too, because people don't want me to leave. I go to teach a lot of the Native Aboriginal children here. I brought all my regalia here with me. And everything. I brought all my flutes. I've got about 18 different flutes that I play. And I put on a pretty good show for these people and these kids. Pretty much, I'm trying to bridge the gap here between the cultures showing what Native Americans are like. You know, and I give a lot of different examples of the different tribes. I see. If you look at the Miamis and the Potawatomi, they have blonde hair, blue eyes, and white skin, full beard. There's different kinds of Native Indians around all over the place. So we're trying to get, just bridge that cultural gap is what I do. And I don't sell Indian. Make a medicine bag or dream catcher or something like that, I give it to somebody. I don't ever ask for any payment. It's offered to me, and, I've got other methods of income as well.
Right. Well, taking donations, that's always been traditional. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't want to be accused of being a member of the Doe Nation. people want to, and they kind of expect you to take it. I get everything from stones given to me, crystals.
Well, I've got
different craft items that people have made, and that's all fine and dandy. Money's not a big issue with me. I'm not rich, but I get by pretty well.
How long have you been married? You got a family?
We just celebrated our 4th anniversary.
Oh, any kids yet?
Not on this end, no. I've got a boy, he's 24, over in the state, and I've got a grandson who's 5 now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're older than I am. You're in your mid-50s, so,
I'll be 53 this June.
Now, you mentioned this gal you met with Powell. Is she Australian?
She'll snap
born
here in Adelaide. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Born right
here. Well, now, Adelaide, you're in South Australia. Where's that? No. Adelaide is where?
We're down in the little bay area there.
Okay, that's what I thought.
The bottom of the map is a little notch.
Right, so you're not too far from Dr. Gutrell, because he's down there in that province. Okay.
Well, he's 20 minutes away from my house.
Yeah, that's interesting. And my dad always felt constrained by the U.S. Given the right circumstances, I think he'd have thrown it all over and gone to Australia. That was his big dream, too. Go do something different. It was still kind of the last frontier. But the frontiers are in our minds nowadays.
No better here than there. No better there than here.
Really. As long as you're doing something you believe in, because if you don't. If you're just going through the motions, you got a vocation and can't do something that you really believe in, you just become an automaton and you lose your soul. And that's why I love doing this. I get to learn. So, they say the teacher is always the one that gets to learn the most. So.
Yeah, that's true. It's pretty true.
Well, we certainly appreciate you calling, and at your cost.
That's not a problem. I love to talk, as you can tell. Anytime, Blue Water.
That's a lot of fun. I know the folks that are... We'll have to get you back on. I think we're going to have to start doing 2 interviews a week, because I figured might get to that point. And maybe we don't
know so much information.
Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of people waiting to be interviewed. I'm going to interview Dr. Louise Mel Madrona.
He's an author. He's a part Cherokee. I'm going to interview him Sunday. And we're going to, let's see. And then you introduced me to another elder that's a member of Matataka. And I got a whole bunch of other people. I think, you know, we might start doing one on Saturday and one on Sunday and maybe one on Friday. Who knows? The show's growing, and we've now got prophecykeepers.net, which is a cool new discussion board, and you're teaching on that. And we got the foundation up and running, so we can take donations are tax deductible. We're over that hump of the first year, and things are moving on, and I think things will go a bit more swimmingly now. I guess that first year always feels tough for nonprofits. We really wondered, but it's like anything, it's worth doing. It's worth doing well.
I'm going to jump on the bandwagon here, too. I'm going to send you a little something because what I have to do, since I don't do credit cards and personal checks and things like that, I have to go down to everything. $25 in the United States is $50 here.
Yeah.
It's a different currency.
Well, I sure appreciate it. We can use every little bit.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
It's not expected. We'll never turn away a donation.
Well, you should.
Because I'll tell you, when it comes down to, and we're hoping to start doing some mass mailing.
How much money you found?
And I don't know whether that'll work or not. You know, sure couldn't hurt. The last time I looked at it, you know, they wanted. I don't know what it was. It was, you know, $700 for 1,000 names or something like that. But, you know, like a price of everything on the net, it's all coming down. So, and they have double opt-in lists where people actually want to get mail and stuff. So we'll give it a try. We'll get a spin with the heck. Got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Because, I know there's people out there. I mean, everyone in the world knows about Nostradamus. And the interview that you did with John Hogue, you know, we were pretty much, in my mind, you know, we proved that, you know, he saw something. He saw the astrological configuration and the drought and these other things that were going to be going on during that period of time. And, you know, going way back to the beginning of this show, back last year, some of the people might remember that I kept asking everybody if December 26th meant anything because of some things that happened to me back in 84 and in 85, and I kept asking, you know, what about December 26th? And then all of a sudden, you know, the tsunami happened on December 26th. And and then I was told that, you know, this year was going to be the year of the Great Havoc 7 years ago, and that certainly happened. And now I'm really kind of concerned about this thing with Yellowstone, because I think what I need to do is I need to write a new ebook, you know, explaining that the Yellowstone, the way the scientists explained what would happen if Yellowstone did go, that it would fulfill so many far-out prophecies, you know, especially more about red skies and, you know, refugees being on their, you know, walking long distances. I'm concerned. And,
they're worried about the ones in Sumatra, too.
Yeah, they sure are. And
Aboriginals are warning us here that there's going to be a massive earthquake here in Adelaide. They're warning us now. Scientists are warning us. They've been on television about it.
Interesting.
Yeah, and the Aboriginals say, yeah, it's going to, the epicenter will be in Blackwood. And I'm thinking, oh, good, that's 15 minutes from here.
Well, they had that black rain. Then they had predicted what a black rain situation down there, and that. That happened. I should have brushed up on my Aboriginal. You know, folks. You know, I've got two prophecy encyclopedias, and one for Eastern, one for Western Hemisphere, and the two of them together are 650 pages, and you know, a lot of times I can't remember everything that's in it because we've literally got, you know, from Aboriginal to Zulu, 160 articles from 60 different nations, but I can't remember them all. I guess I need to go back. But I remember that one about Black Rain and some other ones that had been fulfilled. And so the Aboriginals, they're plugged into the Mother Earth message system, and they know what's coming down the pipe. Well, sure appreciate you calling. Yeah, and any last words for the folks?
Gather your circles, make it one big one. We don't have any missing links in the chain. I think we can. It's inevitable that there's major changes coming. We're not going to avoid that because Mother Earth is stretching out, given Earth. And, if we don't go back to the 13 moon calendar, back to Earth time, Mother Earth is going to do it for us sooner or later anyway. I think there'd be a lot less chaos, and who knows, maybe in peace would break out. Yeah, I would just say keep your circles going, but try to get together and use the vibration, the power of love and healing.
There was a guy up on the roof.
To, cushion
the bombing.
Okay. Watto, for being on the show.
Sure, set off.
Thank you, Marauder.
Okay.
And I will talk to you again.
All righty. And thanks, folks. And we'll see you again next week. All righty. Thanks a lot, Daryl.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
You have never seen from the police report.
This is Yasa Sagonie, a seventh great grandson of Savanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the upper, middle, and lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous plant-based native sacraments.
Inciting people to go bomb.
You're listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of
like
Prophecy Keepers Radio.
Say, hey,
thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files, and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files,
and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
Nine channels. Oh my. No, I read the satellite microwave speaking in. Would you hear me? Okay. 949 channels. I say roll a dice.
949.
Get ready.
This is not going to be paying a single.
Sorry, y'all. Yes. I'm going to give it to you.
Suck it up. There you go. One tough paper plate that can handle even your heaviest, messiest meals. Hello, these are
MLB Network Strike Zone, the channel that takes you to MLB Network Strike Zone, Tuesdays and Fridays.
Get MLB Strike Zone, only in multi-sport. Call today for a half
price.
Sure,
when you get done there, Korean buddy.
Leave my skin dry and warm.
Rehydrate your skin with Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion, 7 intensive moisturizers, healing aloe, relief dry around the skin.
Because my skin needs a little extra healing.
Gold Bond Ultimate.
I guess I'm here by myself.
Yep. Okay.
What do you want, honey?
No.
Okay, well then quit making noise like you want something.
No. Oh, honey, you guys are so
evil, disgusting people. You know, we took the one object that most represents their love and we popped it for a hot tub and a satellite dish.
More kids call it.
Hey, what
are you doing? Are you a good kitten? Are you a good kitten?
Not evil, right? Married couples entitled to one huge horrible mistake on the house.
Yeah.
Yes. I was hoping to save mine for an affair, but I'll use it here.
George, hey, Aunt Betty.
Can I please get past
come
this?
On.
I
want
you.
George.
Come on,
baby George. Oh, he's playing with
the phone. We don't even have a good story to tell people about how you gave it to me now.
No. What a crappy day. You know, first we're flop sweating in our winter coats. Then some moron spills your beer on you. And then I drop the ring and some mustard.
Sounds kind of funny when you say it out loud.
It does?
Yeah, I mean, it does have the potential to be a funny story. What if we just made it a point to laugh when we tell such a people?
I like where you're going with that. I like that, you know, and the reason the ring couldn't have fallen something funnier than mustard.
Right, like ketchup.
Yeah.
No, that's equivalent. Well, how about like some fat lady's nachos?
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And then when you bent down to pick it up, your pants split. Remember?
That's my face, Red. Yeah.
Dad, you are not gonna believe what happened at the Jets game today. Oh, Jack surprised me with my new engagement ring, and when he went to give it to me, it fell into some fat lady's nachos.
Yeah, and then, you know, I went down to get it, and my pants
ripped right. Oh, and then the other part. And then they showed it on the stadium Jumbotron, and the place went nuts.
Oh, they were all chanting, Big Dad Foot Crack.
It's a wild story, don't you think?
I guess you had to be there.
Well, we can't go by him.
Come on, give it a try. I don't wanna. You don't know what you're missing. Alright.
Uh-oh. Oh, God. I never want to use that hot track, but that's
not bad.
Go ahead, George. Get it, George. Get it. Yeah, there we go. It's a birdie. Poor birdie. Oh.
So, what are you doing?
Studying my parallelism.
How legal, huh? Oh, I respect those people. No feeling from the waist down, and they still practice law.
Your plans today, Dad? Anything out of the
normal? Oh, okay. I know what I'm
doing. I'm sorry. It's just they gave me time off work to stay at home so I wouldn't have any interruptions, you know?
Got it. Got it. Don't need a kick in the chickens.
and your Uncle Cliff found out that Pam's one-third ownership of Barnes Global would go to you in the will, he contacted me and Karina. Karina had been your mother's nurse. He asked us to keep your mother's death a secret so that he could control her shares in his company. In exchange, he supported us all these years. So my uncle let me think my mother was alive. Just didn't want to see me for 24 years.
Real friend.
I'm so sorry for our part in all this.
Real friend. But he goes to church every Sunday.
This is what you came for. It's your mother's will. It passes on her shares and Barnes Global to you. Your mother wrote this a few days before she died. She loved you. She fought to get better so that she could return home to you.
Always.
Her biggest regret was that she never made it back to Dallas.
Give a shit what he felt like, huh? Thanks, folks.
To deal with.
District
Attorney is trying to work a deal with him to transfer him, but he's not giving anybody up. He said he's happy to go to trial.
You're making a mistake covering for them, Roy. People like Barnes and Rylands, they dump people like you like they dump the trash. They got no sense of loyalty.
Just tell the truth, Vickers. The DA can protect you.
No Bloody Mary for it?
Come the girl.
You promised me that Roy Vickers had left the state. The Dallas PD has him in custody right now.
I know.
Stands through 20 years. Iron bars.
So Vickers is old school. Look at his time like a man, and no one will be any wiser about his connection.
Look at this. Hey, George.
It'd be hard to find a stand-up guy.
You're good with her.
I'd be really disappointed if all of our hard work just came to nothing.
Wouldn't that be great on camera video?
I have a job I need you to do.
Chill him.
Come on, George. Come on, Georgie.
What do I have to do to get you to tell the truth?
George.
About my father and Ryland being behind a rig sabotage of the Vickers.
It's not going to happen, Miss Barnes.
Do you have children, Mr. Vickers? Did you know that one of my babies was a boy and the other one was a girl? No, please. Please don't go, please.
George.
I need to know the truth. Did my father know people were on that break? Please.
Yep.
I need to know if he knew I was there.
Do it anyway.
Look, I know you don't want to confess to anything. I just need to know. Just tell me it was unintentional and I'll go.
father. There was nothing unintentional about it.
Are you having distress?
Yeah, it's called relational stress.
What the fuck is wrong?
Just about everything.
Plan a summer vacation.
You just take care of yourself.
Yeah, your brother said the same thing.
Listen, my lawyer's a shark. Don't you worry about me. You just take care of yourself and that little grandbaby of mine. Alright? I'll talk to you soon. I love you too, baby.
As an accomplice in the Ewing rig explosion, was killed today while in police custody. Mr. Vickers, the owner of the storage facility in Dallas, had been arrested.
Peter, I had nothing whatsoever to do with his death. I give you my word. I'm shocked you are. Roy worked for me for 15 years.
I don't know what is going on around here, Daddy, or how Drew and Roy Vickers were connected to it and to you. But I'm glad Drew is gone and Roy is dead. Now they can't hurt you.
Thank you, my darling girl.
Thank you. My son and grandchild. Authorities are investigating Vickers' murder, but they currently have no suspect.
Emma's with Paris now, Bobby. You really think he did this?
Vickers worked for Ryland. It's Ryland who had the most to lose if Vickers talked.
That's the gun that killed my brother.
J.R. caught wind that Cliff had followed him down in Nuevo Laredo. His sixth sense made him worry, so he called me. By the time I got to the Hotel Cologne, J.R. was already dying. He told me that Cliff was using the Mendez Ochoa cartel to cover his tracks, to call Carlos Del Sol. Carlos bought the gun that Cliff used to kill J.R. from the cartel.
Why didn't you tell us all this before? And why would you blame it on some random mugger if you knew it was Cliff and you had the gun to prove it?
Because J.R. wanted Cliff to think he'd gotten away with it. To give the family time to take everything from him.
But I'm his son.
You could have told me! And if I had told you, you'd have gone after Cliff right then and there.
I have.
I wasn't even sure that I would have to use this. Until this morning, Roy Vickers could have put away Cliff and Ryland for blowing a ring.
What my father did before doesn't matter. Now's the time to act.
Everything has to take place where the crime occurred. Cliff will fight extradition to Mexico with everything he's got.
We won't have to extradite him. I can get him to Mexico.
You'd be good with that?
Yes. So what are we? Christopher, I heard about your mother. I just want to say how sorry I am. If you want to talk about it, there's nothing I would like more. I understand that you are still angry with me, and you have every right to be. I was wrong not to tell you that I knew where Drew was. But Drew was just a pawn in Ryland's sick games. I only helped him because he promised to bring Roy back, and he did.
And now Roy's dead. But you want me to understand what you did, right, Elena? To forgive you? And call Drew and tell him to turn himself in. That'll help my family.
I can't reach Drew anymore.
You know, the one thing I thought we had between us? Was trust. How do I ever trust you again, Elena?
I can't tell you how proud I am of you, sweetheart. I didn't know you were trying to Capri Frank's casino deal in Mexico.
Well, I know Frank wanted more than anything to make you proud with this casino deal.
A small world that Frank planned a casino in Nuevo Laredo.
I know. But it's smart. It being a border town, right for gaming.
Talk about dancing on JR's grave. Come on.
Now that they're gonna fight.
He's gonna go wife in a Mexican jail.
Stand up for the people of America.
Batista.
Oh.
In here, a true.
Nice place.
What'd you do? You had my gun stolen, and you paid off the Mexican police, and had somebody plant GR's belt buckle in my safety deposit box. Pam must have helped you with that. What if she finds out that you framed me? A third generation blood feud.
Round all you want to, Cliff. The feud is over. You can't hurt my family anymore. But I will give you another chance. It's not something my brother would do, but I'm not my brother. You admit to blowing up the rig and killing my grandchildren. You admit to having Roy Vickers assassinated and your conspiracy when you're silent. And I'll help you.
Oh, trade a Mexican prison for an American prison. I have never done anything Ewing's asked me to do, and I'm not going to start today.
Who
killed JR?
You'll never know, Cliff.
Hurry up.
I knew somebody else had been.
You don't love him.
No, baby. My JR's. Yeah, 39.
Thank you, JR, for taking care of all of us. Even from the great beyond.
The only deal he was a loss.
Don't you think it's about time you tell us what really happened to JR? What do you mean? You've been pulling our strings since the funeral, Dad. It's time you trusted us. You know basically what I know. Cliff Barnes is responsible for JR's death. Now, Brian and Uncle Bobby, the Barnes-Ewing feud is over. You two can reset your futures. Never worry about Cliff Barnes again. What else do you need to know? JR's whole master scheme was in that letter. And you haven't even come close to telling us what it really said. You know, we're out here now, all alone. It's time.
Bobby, doctors say I've only got a few days left. Damn cancer. Should have told you earlier. You know how I detest pity.
Son of time?
The feud Digger Barnes started with our family caused more heartbreak than either of us has time to recount. Well, I guess you do have time. Use it. Put an end to this feud once and for all. I had Bum steal Cliff's gun. The malignant little troll Barnes comes to Mexico every year for a marlin fishing competition. I'm going to damn well stay alive long enough to be here when he arrives. Carlos Del Sol will smooth out the rough edges in Mexico for you. And talk to Bum. He's the final and most important piece to the puzzle. And the best friend I didn't deserve to have. So, remember that time when you got grounded for borrowing Daddy's favorite shotgun? You swore up and down it wasn't you, but Daddy said there was no point in lying because he found those extra shells in your room.
Well, we both know it was me that planted those shells. Now it's time to play that card again. I can... It just goes on. I can never make up for all the terrible, hurtful things I did to you, Bobby. And I have no excuses either one of us would believe. But I hope in the quiet place in your heart, where the truth lives, that my jealousy, as powerful as it was nothing compared to my love for you. Goodbye, baby brother. I guess I'll be duck hunting with Daddy. I'll tell him I was the one who borrowed his gun. I'm sorry, I'm confused. Who shot my father, Uncle Bobby? I shot your father, General. He only had a few days left and he asked me to do it.
That's what I thought.
It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
That's all you have to do.
Please believe that JR's last act was an act of love. And for you. The only person that could take down JR.
What's
JR? JR?
Well, that better not get in the wrong hands.
Well, I said talk to Bob. He didn't write what happened.
Thank you, Daddy, for watching over us. I love you.
Today to see how things were progressing. They weren't getting anywhere, so I took another reading. The reserve is too tight to be a producer. Buffy died for nothing. Drew got involved with Ryland so he could make enough money to buy the land back from Bobby, and he threw his life away, just like Buffy.
Leave your father's dreams behind, Mija. Find your own dreams.
It's from Cliff Lawrence's lawyer.
Cliff wants to see you. Ellie, he wants you to go to the jail and ruin him.
You have no idea what you've done, little girl. The enormity of what you set in motion. Oh, it's the hater, isn't you? You just let the you ones get inside your hair. You thought it was your grandmother, and I tried to control you, but it's
this has nothing to do with the Ewings. This is me.
No. This is my Emma. This is the girl I raised.
It is. Because I'm exactly my father's daughter.
Oh, Annie, I bet you're enjoying this.
Actually, I'm not, Harris. Because I'm not a sick, sadistic prick like you are.
Sorry. I was just walking the grounds.
Y'all moved in already?
No. But I don't want to go back to my place. I just want to start my life with John Ross and not look back.
I'm happy for you, Pamela.
I know I'm the last person who should ever be giving you advice, Christopher. But you love Elena. You have always loved Elena. I know you're angry with her. She made a bad mistake. But don't hold on to your anger the way my father held on to his. Look at the wreckage that left in his wake.
Tell me what you know about my father's land or I will walk out that door and you will never see me again.
I know a lot about your family's land. I know that your great-great-grandfather was on the scene and how in 1835 he purchased a stretch of land in what became Dallas and how it was stolen from him in the Mexican-American War and that your father purchased it back in hopes that he would strike oil. And I also know, like your father, the J.R., that their land was oil rich.
J.R. and my father were both mistaken. There was no oil on that land.
And you know why? Because when your father came up from Mexico to collect the deed, J.R. had paid somebody in the records office to switch the deeds. And J.R. got the parcel that belonged to your dad, which was rich in oil, and your dad got his, which was worthless. Destroy your father's life and your brother's. And J.R. went off and made millions on the land they stole from your father.
No, you have to be fake. You would do anything to turn me against the Ewings.
Go check the records yourself. J.R. did the same thing to my father as he did to yours. And I can't fight him from in here, but you can. You'd be my proxy for the third of Barnes Global that I still own. Make the Ewings pay for their sins against your family.
To the shrewdest oil man who ever lived, may all who enter Ewing Global feel your gaze and remember that you never go against a Ewing.
No truer words, John Ross.
Cheers, Pierce. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
Hello. So, how'd it go with Emma and Harris?
I think Emma's gonna be okay. And Harris, he looked like someone who could use a hug. You know, that's the first time I've seen you laugh in months.
It's the first time I felt like it in a long time. I love you, Annie. You know, I only shut you out because I didn't want my wife watching me be like JR Ewing.
You're
still
the best man I know.
You need to get out more. You know what I was just thinking?
What's that?
In all this time we've been working on JR's master plan, I didn't get the chance to really enjoy the fact that Miss Ellie gave me half a cell for it.
Not only that, but together we own 1/3 of the oil under it. And thanks to the governor, it's now pumping again on Henderson Ranch. Now, you be nice to that bride of yours. Treat her right. It's not easy being a Ewing bride in this family.
What do you take me for, Mom? Scoundrel. Darling, trust me, I'm willing to pay the price.
bar.
Okay. River monsters? Why not?
Start over.
Grizzly attacks in its wake, dragging people from the shallows and even tearing up limbs. My name is Jeremy Wade. And my search for this elusive creature will lead me from its remote rural beginnings to the most unlikely refuge, the cooling pond of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, where I'm thrown into a science fiction nightmare, searching for a suspected mutant amid the fallout of the worst nuclear accident the world has ever seen.
I'm so
glad of little fish, it seems very likely. My mission is to venture deep behind the former Iron Curtain to discover
that one's on
there.
We need to
flush.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
The FBI discovered the camp.
I tell you that. But all the camp for the Chinese and Chinese.
So our military cult piece, they're all part of Freedom 13.
A militia?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Carroll is associated with
it.
Everything. The illegal contraband piece we traced back to Daniel.
He's friend Joe. This is precisely why I won't be asking you back.
Agent Weston, tell us where Claire is.
I don't know anything. You know everything about me.
Roderick?
Is now they call you?
I want to introduce you. This is Sheriff Nelson of Haven Court.
What are we going to do to help?
Right.
If Joe Carroll is here. We're gonna find. They got roadblocks set up on every road coming in and out of town. They're doing full-on car search and storing on those property records. Yeah, I'll call the courthouse, see if I can't get in the hustle.
Thank you, Sheriff. I know it's been a long night.
That's all good. We never get this kind of excitement around here anyway. So, we'll be right back. Hey.
Hey.
How you doing? Knock me down and get back up.
Mitchell could use your help in the computer lab. In the back, she's back to the police circuit.
Will do. Yeah, Benny, I'm checking on those property records. There's a whole army of FBI folks here today. That's classified, Benny.
Don't forget, we have that DVD from last night. I don't know whether you liked it or not. But there.
What was I can't remember.
Oh.
There's just so much of this.
Love Already. And Hugh Grant. Break or
I guess not. That's the point.
Civilians, too. Hey. He's right in front of me. We'll get him.
Okay. Roderick's real name is Tim Nelson of Crowley, Virginia. His mom is a retired mayor. His father was an army colonel, died in the Gulf War when he was a child. He went to Winslow University. Graduated 2004, political science major, minor in literature. I give you one guess who his faculty advisor was.
How does someone like that become a sheriff in a town?
Hell if I know. I'm like, I want awards. We're questioning everyone in the office. Maybe it'll turn something up.
Okay, so we made Roderick. I think the cult's going to try to make a move now. You need to lock this town down. I need you to keep a close eye on them for me.
Please. Claire hates me. I'm the last person who should be watching her. I stole her son, Joe, and sleeping with her husband. I'm not winning her over anytime soon.
Does she know about us?
No. That'll stay between us. We're fun that way.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the news about Daniel Monroe's death. They're keeping it quiet.
No news is good news, I suppose. We have a problem, Joe. Yeah. But at least screwed.
National Guard's on route. Meanwhile, state police remaining roadblocks.
Coast Guard's monitoring the waterways. We've got two choppers in the air. DC sending more. Okay, so what about the sheriff's residence?
It's a small apartment in town. It's basically empty. Fake home.
Yeah.
Fake like here's the sheriff.
He's at his real home with Joe.
So where are we on property records, the real estate reports, the foreclosures in the last year? I mean, we're looking for a pretty big piece of property here. It's going to be rural, hidden away.
When was the last time you took some of those little green pills?
Whenever you gave them to me.
You remember when that was?
I don't remember.
Probably a good idea if you took one more.
Media blackout, folks, so we know what we're dealing with.
The agent saw my face. Joe, he recognized me. How was I supposed to know he's just going to walk into the station?
You dealt with him properly in the first place.
Put him in the hospital. Look, we have an escape plan. We need to execute it. We divide ourselves up. We leave the house in small groups. All of us.
Roderick, you have to calm down.
We are in trouble here, Joe. And it's your fault. I told you to leave Daniel Monroe alone. Didn't have to kill him.
The FBI found Daniel Monroe. I didn't have a choice.
But that's because the FBI are in the
apartment. I fixed the property records and hid this place, but it's just a matter of time now. They will find us.
We need to leave now.
No. It's not time yet.
Not time. I don't understand, Joe. Is there something I don't know about?
No. No, of course not.
What is it, Joe? There's something you're not telling me.
You are clearly getting paranoid.
We have a long history together, you and I. You can trust me.
Joe, if there is a different plan, some other vision that you have for us, now is the time to tell me. I have done everything for you. I have dedicated my entire life to you. I'm the one that's out there every day watching things for us while you sit here day after day writing a book. Mine and then Diana wife, it's never going to want you back.
Oh,
to use me? Use me!
You need to pull yourself together. What? You gonna kill me? You gonna kill me like you did then?
Joe, you don't want to see this. Ryan Hardy's on the news.
Don't put it.
The FBI has reason to believe that Joe Carroll and his cult of followers are somewhere in the vicinity of Haverford, Maryland.
At this point, you don't have an exact location.
We're narrowing it down, but in the meantime, we're willing to make a deal. If any follower or acolyte Joe Carroll is willing to cooperate with the federal authorities, they will be given full immunity from prosecution for any crimes that he or she may have committed. You need to contact the Havenport Sheriff's Office with that information, but keep in mind that this is a one-time, one-day, first-come, first-served deal only. What is it?
Ryan's holding a press conference.
Samantha?
I know there's doubt among you, but I'm speaking to that one person that simply made a mistake by following Joe. There's still time for you. You can turn back, be completely exonerated if you just don't us.
The FBI are clearly desperate. We, on the other hand, are not.
So, Emma's dad. What about Jacob? He's my favorite. We play video games together. He's my...
Sweetie, I'm so sorry, but we can't trust any of these people. But you know what? We have each other, don't we? We're going to leave for soon.
that Carrie didn't show up for her shift. Yep. I'll call you when I get off. Damn, Tim, you scared me. What did you do? Everyone's looking for you.
I need your help, Eddie.
Who told you to hold a press conference? You have no authority to offer a deal. Grant immunity.
I know that. I'm just trying to get one of them to come forward, get him to talk.
It could work, Nick. There's always dissension in a cult. If just one person is questioning their commitment, that's all we need.
All I'm asking is that you run stuff by me. We're working towards the same goal here.
How do you tell me?
Hey, a waitress from a diner in town was seen getting in the car with the sheriff a few minutes ago.
Why don't I just pull over here and you can take my car?
I told you, babe, they're wrong about me. It's all one big misunderstanding.
Everybody's up ahead. What should I do?
I'm back, natural. Call me Brian.
Hey there. What's going on?
Can I get some IDs? Step out of the car, sir.
Why'd you take Joe Carroll's kid? I told you, I'm impulsive.
Negotiated with that killer. He just murdered 2 state troopers. So you're okay with the kid dying, because I'm not.
Of course no one's okay with him dying. How do we know this isn't a trap set by Joe?
That's a risk I'm willing to take. Look, this is my call, Ryan. I'm not sanctioning the deal. We'll find another way.
Samantha, come on, baby.